Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a glorious Monday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. Michael Vick, Carson Palmer, loaded today. Smorgasbord of topics. Joy Taylor is joining me. I sat there, wife's out of town, me and the dogs and the NFL. I watched parts of every game. I ordered chicken parm after the Rams Bears game.
Oh,
crashed for 7 hours. What a world we live in. So much normalcy. Felt so great to see the fans.
It did.
Oh,
it did.
The fans were amazing around this country this weekend.
It did. Yeah. I mean, college football fans, even starting from last week, was amazing to see. But it feels like we're back. The NFL is back, and there were some great games yesterday.
God bless America. God bless American football fans. So I'm a big believer in this. My life is not about actions. Actions are easy. Went and got a coffee this morning and drove to work. My life's about 75 to 80% about reactions. How do I react when my kids have a problem at school? When somebody's health goes sideways? Life will be determined how I react to things that don't go as planned. I think about that all the time because life is not linear. There's always a boss, a spouse, a kid, a teacher. Something goes sideways. How will you react to it? And you'll find that people's personalities are amplified in crisis. Jerks are bigger jerks. Compassionate people are more compassionate. I mean, folks, we have a tiny percentage of America that can't wear a mask on a plane. They just completely unravel. It's too much to ask. That's how they react to being asked to do something that we all think stinks. I hate it too. I'm just a grown-up. So I want you to think about this. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers both got mad at their organizations this offseason. Now, there was limitations on what Seattle or Green Bay could do because Russell makes so much money and Aaron makes so much money. So the organizations were somewhat limited. And so Seattle went out, got Russell a new offensive coordinator, an old left guard, probably a one-year player, and a nice tight end. But they didn't have a lot of money. They couldn't rearrange the deck chairs, and they didn't have a lot of draft picks. Green Bay drafted a wide receiver, tried to redo Aaron's contract. How did they react to it? Russell Wilson viewed what Seattle did, which was very small, as a positive step. He quickly pivoted to what his agent Mark Rogers told me was the greatest offseason he's ever had. He became Mr. Seahawk, making calls, trying to get players signed. And yesterday he was brilliant. 18 of 23 in a true road game against a team that will probably win their division. Well, the Colts will. Buttoned up, slick. How did Aaron handle his offseason bumps? Brooding, condescending, still talking about it up until a week ago. Taking shots at the organization, making you know he does not need football, 50-50 retirement. He actually said that publicly. Look at how both of them handled an off-season crisis. It amplified their personality. Russell tends to be optimistic and hopeful and a unifier. When he transferred to Wisconsin, within 10 days, didn't know a player, they named him captain. Favre and Rodgers didn't get along for years. It amplified it. The moody, prickly, condescending Aaron, as they say, the sins of summer are paid in the fall and winter. The Packers were disorganized, looked lost, looked gassed. The Seahawks were brilliant. Green Bay didn't even play a true road game. They played a rebuilding team. Isn't it interesting? Life is overwhelmingly how you and I react to non-perfect situations, because we mostly control stuff. You get up, you drive to work, you get your coffee, you go to work, you do a good job, you come home, your dogs and cats love you. Yeah, a lot of action. That's easy stuff. Our life is only difficult. Joy's mine, Ryan's yours. Stuff goes sideways. Teacher calls. Spouse drives you nuts. Boss gives you limitations. How do you react to it? Going to throw a fit in an airplane? Going to be brooding, petulant all off season? Or do you do a Russell Wilson and quickly pivot to, I make a lot. We don't have a ton of draft picks. They got me a better guard. They changed offensive coordinators. LFG, let's go. That's what Seattle's quarterback did. And what you saw was a result of it. And Green Bay's quarterback, even after the game, kind of the typical, no big deal, relax, R-E-L-A-X, Aaron Rodgers.
It's just one game. You know, we played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game, we got 16 to go. We're coming off a couple of NFC championship games. And obviously feeling good about the unit that we have on offense. That's what we talk about a lot. So this is a good kick in the you-know-where. Hopefully get us going in the right direction, going back home and playing division opponent next week.
Is it just one game? I don't know. I looked at your schedule. Steelers are around the corner. I saw your offensive line. Is it just one game? Cincinnati appears to have a punch. Be playing them soon. Is that just one game? Crisis amplifies a man's personality. You see the two on TV right now? You know which one I'd choose. And to that, let's talk Baker against Mahomes. That was a really good game and really fun. I know what you think this morning. Colin, you're going to be very critical. Okay, listen. If you had to boil down the difference between great quarterbacks and competent ones in this league, it comes down to this. The great ones are unaffected by score. They lead, they trail, it doesn't matter. Tom Brady Thursday night, great example. He gets the ball back, minute 20 left. Every single person on the Cowboys, everybody in the stands, every security guard, every popcorn vendor, every player knows Tom's got to throw in every down. So what? It doesn't matter. I mean, basically, Dallas pinning their ears back. Pass rush. He's got to throw. It doesn't matter. Tom was so effective, he threw three straight balls out of bounds because he got there so fast. And think about Baker Mayfield. When Baker had a lead, a running game. By the way, Kevin Stefanski is one of the top five play callers in the world. He is a great play caller. Baker's throwing on third and two, second and four. Very effective. Now let's throw in some variables. Oh, our punter fumble. Nick Chubb fumbles. Game's close. Now it's on me. I've got to throw. Interception. Jared Goff in 2018 and Jimmy Garoppolo in 2019. Playing with a lead, a good play caller, an excellent running game, got to the Super Bowl. Ryan Tannehill with Derrick Henry playing with a lead, very effective. Goff, Garoppolo, Tannehill. But the minute yesterday, Kansas City knew, it's a couple minutes left, Baker's got to throw, that changes everything. Because Goff and Baker and Garoppolo, this league, the separation is this. Mahomes trailed all first half and most of the second. And especially as you got into the late third and early fourth, Mahomes has to throw. So, three touchdowns, no picks, 143 passer rating. Literally, the score is irrelevant with Brady. It's irrelevant with Russell Wilson. It's irrelevant with Patrick Mahomes. The minute you knew Baker in the last two drives had to throw, wasn't the same quarterback. Because now everybody knows what the quarterback, linebackers drop into coverage. Pass rushers pin their ears back. And Baker's a guy. And by the way, again, Goff Garoppolo to a Super Bowl. Cleveland's going to win 12 games. Don't take a ton from this. But that is the difference. Cleveland coaches know there is a script with Baker. Do not let him ad lib. Do not leave him to his own judgment and devices. Manage the game. And by the way, this offensive line is good enough. They are going to manage this and control the tempo on almost everybody on their schedule. They don't have to have Mahomes firing back at Arrowhead. That's the toughest game. We told you all week. This is the toughest game in their schedule. This is no fun. By the way, I believe Mahomes now in September has 35 touchdowns and no interceptions. This was a loss. And you played really well. But for the great ones, it doesn't matter what the score is. Hey, I love Lamar Jackson. He's better with a lead than trailing. And I think he's great. Aaron Rodgers is great. He's always been a better quarterback with a lead than trailing. Always. He's got very few come-from-behind wins. And to Baker Mayfield's credit, he acknowledged the only time of the game that matters is everybody knows you got to make a play. Can you or will you?
It's just all the little things that matter. And, you know, it's very frustrating because they're there. They're there. But like I said, when you play the Chiefs, the teams of that caliber, if you don't execute, you're going to lose. Critical moments. You have to execute critical moments. Nothing else matters before those moments. You know, it always comes down to those three, four plays.
And those critical moments are almost always for a quarterback. They know you're throwing. They know you've got to throw. It's why Mahomes has separated from the league. His Super Bowl run that he won, he trailed in every playoff game. He trailed 24-0. So, he is more than any quarterback in football. Score irrelevant. The only thing that affects Patrick Mahomes is the one thing that affects every quarterback that's ever played the game. If he's running for his life on every single play like the Super Bowl, Manning, Aikman, Wilson, it doesn't matter. That you can't, nobody wins with that. Nobody wins with that variable. We can't protect the quarterback. He's running for his life. But the other variables matter very little for Patrick Mahomes. For the rest of the league, mostly, and Baker, it's the difference between great and good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Bears-Rams. Matt Stafford averaged 12.3 yards an attempt. That's why they got Matt Stafford. So it's interesting. When you look around, I mean, you all do this. What I'm about to say, we do this. Joy and I do this. You look around at your competition. You look around. What do they do better than us? What do we got to get better at? Because there's a lot of things we feel like. We come in every day. We do a good show. But you look around. Fox looks around. Hey, what can we do better here? What can we do? That's what companies do. That's what your company does. That's what my companies do. And the Rams looked around. You know, I talked to people in the front office. They looked around and said, you know what we need? We got Mahomes in this league for 10 years. Okay, we need more Mahomes-like touchdowns, home runs, quick strikes, over the top. They like Jared Goff. They won 10 games a year with Jared Goff. But they felt like they had to coach perfectly with Goff. Nothing came easy. It had to be 9-play drives, 10-play drives, one fumble, one tip pass, one penalty, blows the drive up. And they felt like Stafford gave them 30% more playbook. The Mahomes stuff. I mean, Mahomes and Zeke yesterday, or Tyreek Hill yesterday, had a 1-play drive. I mean, even a Browns fan, I don't even know if it was a good throw. It was like, yeah, they just do that once a game. You just get a free 7 points. Let's just start every game with a free 7 points for Kansas City. You can't explain it. McVay privately liked Goff, but they felt like there was a ceiling. They were limited. Nothing came easy. You had to coach perfectly. One offensive line injury, one tweaked ankle, one drop pass, blew it up. And if you look at the chart of where Stafford threw last night, sprinkled it everywhere, 30% more playbook, deep left, deep right, deep middle, short left, short right. And I think that's the difference. And I also feel fit matters, right? Like in Los Angeles, Magic Johnson is a better fit in Los Angeles than Boston. A guy named Showtime, Magic's the greatest fit in the history of basketball for a city. He literally, his game was flashy. The big smile. The nickname is Magic. Showtime. That's what the Lakers star should be. This is Los Angeles. Jack Nicholson, Diane Cannon are sitting 5 feet away. Like, fit matters. And there's a reason when the Pistons have been good, they're tough. Because Detroit's tough. Detroit's physical. They make cars. They make trucks. They got factory. When Pittsburgh in the 70s was dominating, it was Steel Town USA. They were tough. Bradshaw was tough. They threw it over the top. They punched you in the neck. They felt like Pittsburgh. And the Pistons always feel like Detroit. Kobe. Magic. Big. And Stafford feels like the Rams. You saw the stadium. The stadium feels like L.A. The stars. Jalen. Goff was a good kid. He's a good player. He never felt big. Stafford, the arm, the talent, the big plays, the home runs, the quick strike. Stafford feels more like what a Ram quarterback should be. And that's what the Rams wanted. It's not that they didn't like Goff. They won 10 games a year with Goff. But the minute they had to pay Goff, there's limitations on what they could do with the roster. And since they're not going to get rid of Jalen Ramsey or Aaron Donald, arguably the best players in the league at their position, they said, okay, if we're going to have to pay for a quarterback, we'd rather pay for a quarterback that feels more like us, can do more things like us. And I thought the whole night last night on NBC, just Stafford felt big. The game's big, the stadium's big, the star power, the Rams, everything felt big, and he fits perfectly. Sean McVay after.
He's got a great ability to be able to change his arm slot and make all types of throws, whether it be short, intermediate, or down the field. But he's, you're not limited in anything that you can do with him in the pass game. You could just see there was a look in his eye. He had confidence in his teammates. He expected to play well. He did a great job. It's hard to say that there was one thing, Jim. I loved everything that he did tonight.
I've never seen Sean McVay smile more. I swear to God. It's like a honeymoon period. Wait till Stafford throws a costly interception. We'll see then. But I thought it just felt big. It felt right. Stadium to Stafford to McVay. McVay's got star power. The stadium, the city, the quarterback needs to as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's certain things in football that I would call them traits. Cleveland has very good traits this year. Excellent O-line. Strong running game. And Kevin Stefanski is a tremendous play caller. That is going to wear very well every week. Pittsburgh is built. They're so good in the front seven defensively. If you don't have it buttoned up on your O-line, they are seek and destroy. They will completely disrupt you. And so yesterday, Big Ben averaged 5.9 yards an attempt. Ben is not accurate. Ben is not efficient. Ben's not great at the line of scrimmage. Ben's a home run hitter. Ben looked old in week one. He looked old yesterday. They can't run the ball. They don't throw the ball down the field effectively. What are they going to look like in week 17? I don't see the traits. What I see is a great front seven. And I mean best front seven in the league. And that is going to, that's why I said they're an 8-9, 9-8 team. That's going to win them 9 games or 8 games. Maybe he'll win 9. Maybe I had them low at 8. I said they feel like a team that wins one way. Their defensive line, and I said this about the Dallas Cowboys Thursday. Cowboys can beat you one way, shootout. The Cowboys have lost 17 straight games when they didn't score 30 points. They have to score 30. This team has to face average offensive lines. And when they do, this is what will happen. It's why I bet the Steelers this weekend. But I don't see their traits. By the way, it's week one. Super Bowls are not won in September. If they were, Andy Reid would have 7 and Bill Belichick would have 1. It's Belichick's weakest month, Andy's best month. But if you look at the best teams in this league, Cleveland, excellent O-line. Rams, excellent O-line. Kansas City, Baltimore, Tampa. Buffalo is rare. Good team. Shaky O-line. most of the good teams will not be completely, utterly unraveled by the Steelers' excellent front seven. When I watched them yesterday, it's not a shot. But they can't run the ball last year. They can't run it this year. They get no push. Najee Harris is fine, but he and Ben didn't click. Chase Claypool's amazing. Rest of the receivers you can have. Chase is great. And this game played right into it. They're a very proud team. Now Mike Tomlin, and he's impossible to argue with. He is the greatest quote in the history of the league. Shuts guys like me up, and he does make a point.
We're not worried about style points. We'll let you guys write whatever stories you want to write, man. We knew it would be tough sledding. They got a great defense. They got continuity, not only in players, but schematics. We're playing them in their place. We had a bunch of new pieces. We weren't style point oriented today. We just had to win this game.
I'm not going to argue with that. And that's my point. They have to win ugly because their offensive line's not good enough to win pretty. Ben is a home run quarterback, not an efficient guy, not the accurate guy, and he's averaging 5.9 yards an attempt. Matt Stafford averaged over 12, and he's more accurate generally as a thrower. So I don't see traits that wear well. Cleveland has great traits. They don't. By the way, when Cleveland leads everybody at half, they're not going to face Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Cleveland's going to win this division. Cleveland's traits are excellent for the season. Pittsburgh is just going to monster front seven. But watch when Cleveland and Pittsburgh meet. Cleveland's offensive line's the best in football. First or second best. Cleveland will not be completely disrupted by the Steelers' front. I still think I have the number right on Pittsburgh. Maybe they're 9-8, not 8-9.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Where Colin was right?
Shocker. Distracted, noisy, moody Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were awful yesterday. In fact, of all the teams in the NFL, they scored the fewest points. Think about that. Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, worst offense in the league. And this is a rebuilding Saints defense. Maybe Aaron could stop discussing his offseason and his moods and how it's landing for him. Just go play, dude. No touchdowns, two picks, didn't look prepared. Noisy offseasons. Seattle's was noisy for about 2 weeks. Green Bay is still talking about Aaron, still discussing how this all lands for me. Get over yourself.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't think I've ever had a winning week. Week one of Blazing 5. 2 and 3, we had the Steelers plus 6.5. And we did have the Panthers, barely won that. I apologize for the Lions pick. There are two teams I will never bet again, Detroit and Atlanta. And I cannot believe I doubted Justin Herbert. My apologies to the Herbert family. He is great.
Where Colin was right.
It's amazing how effective Sam Darnold is when, you know, he has weapons and a run game and can play with an occasional lead. Darnold wasn't great, but he went 24 of 35, 280 yards, one touchdown, no picks, rushing touchdown, and a passer rating of 102. Sam doesn't throw the prettiest ball. Zach Wilson throws a prettier ball. Sam has his flaws. Sometimes he plays quarterback like a linebacker, but he's a really talented kid. And when you don't ask him to be the entire life preserver and you just ask him to be a really important oar in the boat, he's a good player who can make plays. And he played with a lead. It's funny, little protection, little run game. Who wins games in this league?
Where Colin was wrong.
Did the Philadelphia Eagles look as good and as buttoned up as almost any team in the league? I got to give Nick Sirianni credit. He maybe batted a microphone. Jalen Hurts, totally in control. I thought they came in with an offensive and defensive game plan. I mean, they really look buttoned up. Some of that has to be coaching influenced. Listen, I said, I think I have a verbal bias. If you're bad at the microphone, I judge you too harshly. But I watched them play, and I'm like, I don't know. That's kind of a decent football team. I will say this. We did say their tight end group is really good. And between Devontae Smith, the rookie receiver, and the kid they drafted out of TCU, Rigger, a couple years ago, they got speed at wide receiver. Their O-line is healthy. It looks like a fairly productive offense.
Where Colin was right.
We told you that Miami-New England It's literally the same team facing one another. And if you watch that game, and I did, it was literally mirror images of each other. The quarterbacks, Mac Jones was okay. Touchdown, no pick sufficient. Tua was okay. Had a touchdown, had a pick. Made one bad throw. The coaching styles, the defenses, the special teams, the excellent corners. The difference is Miami has got a little more juice and speed on the outside. But I said, New England this year is going to look like Miami last year. Not good enough to win the Super Bowl. Good enough to wild card team, get to the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game. I thought yesterday, I don't even know. I don't think necessarily the better team won. And I don't think the worst team lost. And I think if they played 10 times, they'd split them right down the middle at 5-5. And that's what you saw yesterday.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, Andy Dalton, it's not going to work. He's not enough juice. Listen, I thought, listen, start a veteran. Don't put a rookie in the crosshairs of SoFi Stadium and Aaron Donald. And, you know, Andy can play under control. But if you look at the quarterback chart where he throws the ball, everything's underneath. Nothing over 12 yards. And Chicago, guess what? They need juice. And also, this is not a championship team. This is not like the Niners who are going back and forth. That's a Super Bowl roster. Don't screw around in the NFC West. Like, win games. Garoppolo's been here. Chicago's not a Super Bowl team. And when you watched it last night, watch how the Bear players reacted to the Justin Fields touchdown. Like they want him to play. Can't fool the players.
Where Colin was right.
I've been saying this for years. Aggressive wins. The SEC is the most aggressive college football conference. They're stealing your teams. They're stealing your girlfriends. The NFC West has the most aggressive GMs in the league. Yesterday, the Niners, the Cardinals, Seattle won convincingly on the road. The Rams won convincingly at home. All these teams, they don't have first-round picks. They give up their first-round picks. They go make massive trades. They get J.J. Watt. They get Matt Stafford. These are the most aggressive teams, arguably, in the NFL. They're all in the same division. Yesterday is a great example of something I preach constantly. Aggressive wins in sports. Dana White, UFC. We're going to go Renton Island. Middle of COVID. We're going to go Renton Island. Aggressive wins. You're going to get blowback on Twitter. There's going to be criticism if it fails. Four of the most aggressive teams, all in the same division, all looked spectacular yesterday.
Where Colin was wrong.
That Jaguar situation was not great. 10 penalties, 3 turnovers. Urban Meyer is known in college as a turnaround specialist, but they were completely unraveled. They trailed 34-7 at one point to Houston. I'll say this. Tyrod Taylor and David Culley have been in this league for a long time, and it's week one. And so Urban Meyer, a lot of this is, I'm not sure exactly what we're going to be and what it's going to be like. And Trevor Lawrence had some nice throws. I'll say this. Trevor's really talented. That's not the question. But as we've said from the beginning, this is a rebuild. Outside a wide receiver, every other unit, and to be down 34-7 to the Texans is concerning.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, the one AFC team I was really concerned about was the Tennessee Titans, and they were boat raced at home. Listen, young quarterbacks need coordinators. Arthur Smith, I don't know if he'll be a great head coach, but he was a great coordinator, and Tannehill doesn't have him. I think their secondary is weak. They can't quite get the offensive line right. Arizona at one point led 24-6. The final score is not indicative of the game. It was never competitive. This was the one good team the last 2 years. And we know this happens every year. There's four new playoff teams every year. I said the one team that's been really good for the last several years, I just don't buy, is Tennessee. By the way, they have the fewest returning starters in the NFL. And in week one, they have new coordinators. It really showed. Maybe they're better October, but they struggled. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, he was a great one, a 3-time Pro Bowler, a number one pick, 15 years in the NFL. Carson Palmer now joining us live. First of all, I got to give Joe Burrow credit. I got to say this. Coming off an injury, Carson, is hard. It's hard to get back on that bike. And I'll tell you what, he's a gamer. There's something about him. And you've had injuries. That first game back, live bullets, is tough. I thought Joe Burrow as you could kind of guess, was a total gamer yesterday.
He looked great. He was really smart with the ball. He didn't put himself or his team in any bad situations. And then at the end of the game, when he had to make the big throws and the big plays, he was able to make them. So, I mean, there's a lot been talked about this Bengals team and this offensive line. If the offensive line continues to protect Joe and he doesn't have to beat you with his feet and he can throw the ball and distribute it to all the playmakers he has, that's when this Bengals team is at their best.
You know, it's interesting. Cleveland lost, but I felt, Carson, there are traits that I think that wear well in the NFL. If you have a good O-line and you can run downhill and control clock and tempo, you can make a guy like Patrick Mahomes be a spectator for large chunks of the game. And I thought Cleveland lost, but my takeaway was that team's going to lead a lot of people, and they're not going to have to face Mahomes and Arrowhead. I thought the most impressive losing team yesterday, maybe by far, was Cleveland. Your takeaway on that performance in that game?
Well, and if you look at Cleveland's defensive line, I mean, they've got two number one picks at defensive end in Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. So they are built to play with a little bit of a lead and make you have to throw it, and it didn't work. I mean, the thing that jumped out to me is Baker Mayfield is exactly what we've all been saying he is. He's a really good quarterback. Is he great? Is he good enough to put that team on his shoulders and go out and win game in, game out, week in, week out? I don't know yet. I think that's the biggest question this year, is that they're in this position in Cleveland where they have to decide, are they going to extend Baker Mayfield's contract? They've given him everything he could want. He's got not only one great running back, he's got two. He's got an offensive line. They've got some playmakers on the back end of the secondary, and they can rush the passer and play with a lead and force you to have to drop back and deal with those two defensive ends. But at the end of the day, it was just drastic. It was the difference between Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes is stark. I mean, you look at that team that Baker's got. That team is built to make a Super Bowl run. We'll see as the season progresses if Baker's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Listen, I don't want to take too much from week one, but there's a saying in sports that players, you know, will win the off season. They'll win in the off season. Teams will win in the season. So, you know, the sins of the summer, you'll be paid in the fall. You know, Russell Wilson and Aaron both had issues with their organizations, and because they're both expensive, Carson, there's not much the Seahawks could do, and there's not much Green Bay could do, right? They had to, you know, they re-signed Aaron Jones in Green Bay. They went and drafted a wide receiver. Seattle got Gabe Jackson. They got him a better tight end and offensive coordinator. But in the end, when you're paying your quarterback a lot of money, there's limitations on moving the deck chairs. But the difference to me was Russell appreciated it and quickly pivoted to working his butt off and getting ready for the opener. And I know everybody loves Aaron, but he's brooding about this thing. He talked about it up until last week. And I watched yesterday Green Bay, and I think to myself, that just didn't look right. That didn't look right at all. And there's a difference between a loss, Cleveland lost, and that. Something doesn't sit well when I watch Green Bay. They're too talented to be the worst offense in the league, even if it's a game. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are the quarterback is hard. Playing quarterback is extremely difficult, even if you are Aaron Rodgers. But when you bring on all this criticism and all the doubt and you're asking for a trade and demanding certain things in the front office, that's just a lot for you to have to deal with throughout training camp, going into week two after an embarrassing loss. It's something that your teammates have to deal with and constantly get asked questions about. You know, is Aaron happy? What do you think the organization needs to do to get Aaron happy? And just all those things that your teammates are constantly burdened with in every press conference and every open locker room where the media is available. And Aaron looked uncomfortable. He looked uncomfortable from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. He never settled his feet. He never just dropped back and ripped the ball into a seam or a nice long completion. Everything looked challenging. Everything looked different. And I just think the offseason he's gone through, the training camp he's gone through, all the questions, you know, all the stuff he's got going in his personal life, those things can burden you. Those things can weigh you down. And Aaron looked like he had, you know, cement boots on at times. Something was holding him back and holding him down. And, you know, at the end of the day, he is Aaron Rodgers. He will shake this rust off. He will come back and play great. He'll probably end up going to the Pro Bowl and throw for 38 touchdowns and 5,000 plus yards. But he just looked uncomfortable. He looked burdened by a long offseason. And, you know, that like I said, I think that'll wear off and week two will be a different story. But, you know, all that talk that was going on in Seattle, that only lasted for maybe a month.
Yep.
And then Russ was happy, and Russ looked happy. Russ looked like he was having fun. And then it's the polar opposite for watching that Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers looked miserable and uncomfortable all day.
Really great stuff. Carson Palmer joining us, the former Pro Bowl quarterback. You know, it's interesting. I could say that you and Matt Stafford have some similarities. You come out, your number one picks, huge arm talents. Even when you were losing early in your career, people said, it's the organization. It's Cincinnati. It's Detroit. And then finally, you guys have to move, and it's like, oh, this is what a winning culture's like. Oh, they spend money. And I watched Matt Stafford yesterday, and I thought to myself, what a wonderful break in life. I can move anywhere I want mostly in my career. Quarterbacks, the better you are, you get drafted to the worst team. And that's where pro sports is totally unfair. You know, and it's like, take me to your career when you finally got a lead, support, a run game. Because I watched Stafford last night, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a brand new life for Matt Stafford.
And it's immediate. It's not like the light bulb turned on for Matt Stafford in SoFi Stadium in, you know, midway through the third quarter last night. Matt Stafford felt a difference in the organization from day one. So Matt's probably just been licking his chops to get to week one since he got there. It's a totally different environment. You got a coach that you completely trust. You got an organization that you know is willing to do what it takes to go out and get a Jalen Ramsey and re-sign an Aaron Donald and just, you know, bring DeSean Jackson in. And, you know, he's been feeling as good as he looked last night since he got to LA, since he started putting on number nine of that uniform. I mean, this is not new. This didn't just happen overnight. We all saw it as fans last night. Matt Stafford was fist pumping and smiling and ecstatic.
Yep.
Head, you know, slapping the helmets of teammates. We haven't seen him do that in Detroit because there hasn't been much to high five and butt slap about. Now he's with the right organization, the right coach. And there was so much talk, you know, there's so much misdirection in this offense and you got to be able to throw on the run. There's all these bootlegs. Matt looked as comfortable as any quarterback outside the pocket last night. I mean, I think he's going to thrive in this offense. The talent, the depth of talent, the offensive line play. And now he doesn't need to throw for 450 yards a night to win.
That's
right.
He's
got a defense that is best in the league year in, year out since Aaron Donald got there. So it's a perfect combination for Matt to thrive in that system.
You know, we were talking about this. In my lifetime, generally, either quarterbacks are pocket guys or they move and there's a deficiency. Tom's not going to run for first downs or Phillip Rivers. And, there are quarterbacks you're like, and Michael Vick would admit, like he ran too much early, didn't develop his passing game. And then I watch Russell and Kyler Murray. And I watched Kyler Murray yesterday. And it's funny, they're both baseball guys. So they're both great sliders when they run. They never get hit. And I watched Kyler Murray, and I went back to the first 10 weeks of last year, and this is a rebuilding team, and his numbers were insane, and I watched them yesterday. And as a guy that was a pocket guy, when you watch Kyler Murray, or even a Russ, do you look at it and think, oh, I would have just, because you were an athlete, but how do you view the guy that can move as well and throw?
The thing that blows my mind about Kyler's game is that he can still see when he is in the pocket. He's extremely accurate inside the pocket, and he's got a lot more arm and a lot more touch than I think any of us thought coming into the league because his sample size was so small with just 1 year at Oklahoma. And you can't see that touch ball he throws right there. You can't see how much touch a guy has until you've seen him play, not 1 year, not 2 years, but into year three and year four, and you start realizing the consistency of the touch balls that they're throwing. Kyler's got a ton of touch. He can actually see somehow, some way. He's always been short, right? He can find a way to see lanes in the pocket. And then once he gets outside the pocket, it's game over. I mean, if you can't contain him, he's going to find a way to either beat you with his feet and score touchdowns like that, or he's going to find a way to get outside the pocket, extend a play, and find somebody get open late like he did a couple times yesterday. It was like Houdini or like watching the old Russell Wilson where he would just continue to backpedal and move, make a defender miss, and then find a nice 8 or 10 yard completion. So his ability to make plays inside the pocket has really surprised me, and his touch ball gets better and better each week.
We're so lucky to have Carson Palmer, the former Pro Bowler. I know where he lives. I'm not saying it. I wish I was there, and he's probably going to go fly fishing multiple times this week, and I'm completely jealous of him. Envy is a bad trait, but I'm envious of you, and I love you coming on the show, bud.
Thanks for having me. Come join me.
I'd love to, by the way. Carson Palmer.